I will be reading from Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. And you were dead in your offenses and sin, in which you previously walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the son of disobedience.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you here. We got several that are here that I haven't seen in a while, and because y'all live somewhere else and you're passing through, and I'm glad to see you. I sure am glad to see you. Got a whole row over here. What's all this about? Is it somebody's birthday or something like that? Yeah? 80. 80 years old. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be it. Keep hanging in there. Keep hanging in there. Yeah. Yeah. 80 years old. That's great. Some of y'all are saying, well, that's young. And then, yeah, 80 years old. And I want you to know that they asked me about you personally just a little while ago. They asked me if I was keeping you in line. And I said, no, there's no way to do that. And I won't tell you who it was that asked me that, but it was the one that's just hugging you right there. Yeah. 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 And Pat, sure glad to see your mother sitting right there. I have not seen you in a long time, but it's sure good to see you. It's sure good to have you with us today. We have several that are here today, and if you are visiting with us, we want to thank you for being here. And we want you to know that you are definitely our honored guest. And do not leave this building without first meeting us and letting us meet you, because we're going to be knocking down doors and walls and stuff to kind of get there to meet you. So make sure that you're there so that we can see all of you and talk to every one of you today. Every one of you. We've been keeping our granddaughter this weekend, and mom and dad just showed up to pick her up and take her away from us and take her back. She's had a big time. She's had a big time. She told us yesterday, she said, I'm just having too much fun. And that's good, because Kathy does that. I usually sit in the recliner, and Kathy chases her around. So that usually works out pretty good for us. Yeah. Or at least for me, anyway. So, it's good to be here with you. It's good for you to be with us. And we're talking about grace. We've been talking about it. Last Sunday was our first lesson on it. This is our second lesson dealing with grace. And there will be a third lesson dealing with grace. And so we want to talk a little bit about that. But before I get into it, I want to go back and give you a little review. A little review. Dick brought up something that I wanted to talk about very specifically, and he was talking about the covenant. The covenant is a contract, what we would call a contract today. But it is binding, and it cannot be eliminated until all has been fulfilled within that covenant. So the old covenant could not be eliminated, and a new covenant could not be put into place until that old covenant had been completely and totally fulfilled. And the only way that that old covenant could be fulfilled is through a perfect sacrifice. Now, if you read Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that the blood of goats and bulls could not do it. And the reason why is because they cannot be tempted, and therefore they cannot overcome temptation, and therefore they cannot overcome sin. Only one who could be tempted could overcome temptation and could overcome sin. And no one has been able to do that until who? Jesus Christ. Jesus completely overcame temptation. He completely overcame sin. And consequently, because the wages of sin is what? He overcame death also. And by doing that, he eliminates that old covenant of sin and death, by the way, for those who are Christian people, for those who were faithful under the law, and for those who are faithful today. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that, because if that was not the case, then why would any of us be here today? There would be no need for any of us to be here because we would all be condemned under the old law. Now, I've been told this before, and I want y'all to know this and understand it. People have told me that the old law does not exist anymore. That is incorrect. That is incorrect. I've told y'all this before, and I want you to understand what that means. The old law is still in existence for those who are not under the new law, which is grace and forgiveness. If you don't have grace and forgiveness, you are still condemned by the old law. Does that make sense to everybody? I hope it does, because I got into a discussion one time with an individual saying, oh no, the old law is gone, it doesn't exist anymore. I said, now wait a minute. If you're not under Christ, then you are still under the condemnation which comes through the old law. In order to be saved under the old law, you had to be perfect in every way. That means I couldn't tell a little white lie, what we call a little white lies. I couldn't say anything wrong about God or anything disrespectful about God. I could not, I don't like to put the same word together twice. I could not honor my father and mother. Okay? Because if I did that, then I would be breaking the old law. And if I broke the old law in any way, shape, or form, then I would be condemned by the old law. Remember, the old law was our schoolmaster. It taught us what sin was. It taught us that all people sin. All of us fall short. And it also taught us that we have to have a Savior. Because if we don't have a Savior, we are all condemned by that law. And so I wanted to start off this morning by giving you that little overview, as well as letting you know this is something that I've talked about before. So this should not be new for you. You should understand that. The old law does still exist for those people who are not under the law of grace. If you are not under that new covenant, Dick, we are still under that old covenant, which is the law of sin and death. It's extremely important for us to see that. Because, folks, if we have not believed, if we have not repented, if we have not been baptized, if we are not living our lives for Jesus Christ, then guess what? We are still under that old law. And therefore, we are condemned by it. And I hope that makes total sense to everybody. I know some people have a hard time with that, but I hope that makes total sense with everybody, because in order for us to reach or obtain salvation, we have to be under the new covenant. And folks, that new covenant is the grace of God. And remember, I told you this last week, and I'll mention it again, but I told you this last week, that the only way to obtain that grace from God, the only way to get under that new covenant, is through faith. And remember, I told you this last week also, that in order to have faith, we have to have what? Works. We have to have action. It requires us to do something. We can't just stand back and say, well, I've got grace. Well, no, you don't. Because if you don't have action that coincides with that faith, then you don't have faith, which coincides with that grace. God still, even today, gives you the choice to follow Him or not to follow Him. That is always our choice. Always our choice. So therefore, because Christ died for us, that doesn't automatically put us in the situation of going to heaven simply because we have to accept that grace. We have to have action toward that grace. And if we don't, then we have no grace because we have no faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us very plainly that without faith, it is impossible to do what? You cannot please God without faith. James chapter 2 tells us that without works, we have no hope. Faith. Because faith without works is... See, y'all are learning some stuff. I guarantee you. You didn't have to have me tell you that. You knew it. Folks, that's important for us to know this. So what I want to look at today is this. When we talk about grace, I want you to understand the past, the present, and the future, which comes through grace. Past, present, and future. And when we look at this, I want you to understand this as well. I'm talking about you as an individual. You as an individual. You have a past in which you did not have grace. You have a present which, if you have been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you have a present in which you do have grace. And also, you have a future which grace brings us. But you can also look at it from a different standpoint. Those individuals that did not have grace under the law. Because those individuals who did not have grace under the law could not get forgiveness. The old law could only condemn, it could not save. The old law gives no forgiveness. That's why, as you read in the book of Hebrews, which one of these days, not too long from now, we're going to have a study of the book of Hebrews, but one of the things that you've got to understand dealing with Hebrews, he tells us that those sacrifices in Hebrews chapter 10 were done year after year after year, and all it did was carry forward the sins of the people until that which is perfect had come, and that which the perfect sacrifice had come, and therefore those sins then were forgiven. That was grace. That was Jesus Christ. That was the perfect sacrifice. Without that, there was no forgiveness for sin. It just carried forward year after year after year. So think of it in that regard. But more personally, think of it for yourself. Because there was a time in all of our lives, where we did not have grace. Okay? All right, so let's start. We're going to be looking at before grace. We're going to spend a lot of time in Ephesians chapter 2 today. And so, understand that's where we're coming from. The book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us that before we had grace, We were dead. We were dead. Okay? That's spiritual death. Not physical. It's spiritual. Remember I told you there's three types of death? There's physical death, when this body wears out and dies and we're laid back into the ground or wherever or whatever. That physical death is physical death. Then we have spiritual death. The spiritual death is when we walk on this earth, but we do not walk with God. I bring that up because I'm going to be talking next week about 1 John chapter 1. About how we walk with God in fellowship. Well, if we don't walk with God, then we are in spiritual death. And then, of course, we have eternal death. We are cast out, away from God, into an eternity of darkness, into an eternity of punishment, into an eternity of flame. In which there is no relief. That's eternal death. And so when we talk about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he tells us that before you had grace, you walked in death. Spiritual death. You did not walk with God. You walked separate from Him. Secondly, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. During that time frame, you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of power of the air. Now who's that? That's Satan. So instead of having fellowship with God and walking with God, what you were doing was you were walking with Satan. You were walking according to the things of this earth. The lust of the flesh. Whatever it may be in this life that causes you issues, that's how you were walking. You were doing those things. And folks, go back in your history. Go back and think about it. You did that. Some of us were pretty young when we got baptized. That's great. But some of you were pretty old. Bill Logan, who we just had the birthday for, the oldest person I ever baptized, 97. And that's great. That's wonderful. And he was concerned about me getting him back up after I got him down. He said, "Now you'll have to pick me back up." I said, "That's not a problem." He weighs about 130 pounds, soaking wet, and he was soaking wet. The problem was when I baptized Cody over there. I had a hard time getting Cody up. But we were both pretty big boys and we moved a lot of water. But I can tell you, it doesn't matter if you're 97. It doesn't matter if you're 197. As long as you're here on this earth, if you are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, then guess what? You have been transformed from that which was in spiritual death to that which is in spiritual life. And that's what we shoot for. That spiritual life. Isn't that right? Without a doubt. So before you obtain that spiritual life, you are in spiritual death, and you walked according to what was in this world, not what was of God. Then notice this. We were imprisoned by this. We were imprisoned. Now you think you're free? You're not. You're not. Because you can be imprisoned by the things of this world. We talked a little bit about that in our Bible class this morning, about how to avoid temptation, how to avoid sin. And sometimes what that is simply not putting yourself in that position. If something causes you problems, don't go there. That's what I told you before. I like watching the Razorbacks play on television because I can turn them off. Okay? But realize there are times in which if you put yourself in that situation, it's going to cause you problems. So avoid those situations. You can be imprisoned by your lusts. You can be imprisoned by the things of this world. And that's how we were. We were bound by the things of this earth. Also in verse 3 of chapter 2, we were called the children of wrath. Children of wrath. We were not led by God. We were led by our own emotions, our own desires. We were called the children of wrath, and therefore we were condemned. This part right here is important because not only were we doing those things, but understand this, that being a child of wrath means that God's wrath will come down upon you. Therefore, we are children of wrath without Jesus Christ. Both in ourselves and in God. We will receive His wrath. Therefore, we were condemned. But today, we have the opportunity to receive that gift of grace. And notice what it says there in chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. It says that we have been made alive. We have gone from that spiritual death, and now today, we are in that spiritual life. We are alive today. We live today. We live for God. We live for Christ. We are together in one place right now as children of God, made alive through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are His children. We live today. Because Christ died for us. Also, in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it tells this, we have been freed from the law of sin and death. Like I told you just a minute ago, that if you are not under grace, you are still under that law. And therefore we are bound by that law, and therefore we are guilty of that law, and therefore we will be punished by that law. Because that law of sin and death cannot give you freedom. That law of sin and death cannot make you free. That law of sin and death cannot forgive. It can only condemn. But today, we are in spiritual life. Today, we are spiritually free. We are free from that law. And then thirdly, look at this one. Verses 8 through 9 of Ephesians chapter 2. We have been saved through what? Faith. Grace has saved us. through faith. You see how those go together? They go together. You cannot have grace without faith. We have been saved by grace through faith. And therefore, we are no longer condemned, but rather we are saved. Now, you hear a lot of people talking about how wonderful things would be if just this would happen, how great things would be if just this would happen. And they talk about hope, and they talk about trust, and they talk about all these things. But folks, I want you to know something. Our hope, our trust, our faith is built in God's grace. Without it, we have no hope. Without it, we have no trust. Without it, we have no faith. It's all through the grace of God that we have it. Now, grace, remember this, is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It is God's gift to us. Why is that? Read John chapter 3. For God did what? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should not, but have. It is the gift of God. And He gave that to you. He gave that to me because He so loved us. And I've told you this before, but I'll tell you it again. If there was only one person in this world that was going to be condemned, if there was only one who could not follow the law of sin and death, God would have sent His Son for that one person. Jesus would have died for that one person. Take that to heart, because I want you to understand, Jesus died for one person. He died for you. Yes, every nation is blessed because of Jesus Christ. But make it personal. He died for you. You are the reason. You are the reason. God gave us this gift as a way for salvation. Without this gift, there is no way to salvation. There is no forgiveness. There is only condemnation. And then realize that God's grace is personified through Jesus Christ. I was asked one time to define grace, and I defined it very simple. I said, Jesus Christ. That's it. God's grace is Jesus Christ. He's given Christ so that we may obtain salvation. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through Him. Only through Jesus Christ can we obtain salvation. Only through Jesus Christ can we obtain an eternity with God. Only through Jesus Christ is there forgiveness. Without Christ, there is no grace. There is no forgiveness. There is only punishment. There is only darkness. There is only separation from God. Realize grace is a gift. With that in mind, faith has to be implied. Faith has to be part of it. Because without faith, there is no grace. Faith is knowing without a doubt. Faith is being able to stand up here and tell you that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Without a doubt. And I can say that without thinking about it. I can say that without anything at all doubt in my mind. Because all I'm doing right there is saying this without a doubt, Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. I can say without a doubt, God is the creator of all things. Without a doubt, there is a heaven. Without a doubt, there is a hell. And without a doubt, there is salvation through Jesus Christ. I can say all those things and never doubt, not one bit, ever. Folks, that's what faith is. Faith is knowing. Knowing that God loved us and sent His Son. Faith is knowing that God has prepared a place for you in heaven. Knowing that. But faith requires action. I cannot just say that I believe. Remember in James chapter 2, even the who believe. Even the demons believe. Don't think they don't, because they know exactly where they're going. They know exactly what their situation is. And they tremble. They fear the punishment that's coming. They know. So you can't say that the demons don't believe in God. You sure can't say that the demons don't believe in Jesus Christ. And anybody who tells you that all you have to do is believe and then you'll be saved, my response to that is, quite simply, I said, you're in the same boat as the demons. Because the demons believe too. And I can tell you the demons aren't going to heaven. Faith requires action. Faith requires doing. Faith requires movement. Faith requires following God's commands. This is how we receive grace. Is through faith. And there are so many people today that take faith out of the scenario of salvation or the plan of salvation and they insert belief instead. Because faith requires something, belief does not. I don't have to do anything in the world to believe. But when it comes down to faith, I've got to do something. See that? Without faith, we have no grace. And folks, there was a time in your life when you did not have faith. And therefore, there was a time in your life when you did not have grace. But today, if you have faith, you have grace. This makes us free. Grace is what makes us free. Faith requires action in order for us to receive grace. Anyone who thinks that God's grace is so overpowering that I can live any way I want today and then when I get there to judgment, I'm going to go to heaven simply because I get God's grace. Now, grace happens here now. Grace happens today. And I know that there are people right here today that have no grace. You haven't done it yet. I know there are people that have it. But folks, I'm telling you that without it, you cannot go to heaven. And without faith, you cannot have grace. And without action, you cannot have faith. Well, the first work of faith is to believe. Then you must repent. Then you must be baptized. Then you must live your life for God. This is how we obtain grace. And if you do not believe, you cannot have grace. If you have not repented of your sins, you do not have grace. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you do not have grace. And there are people right here today that do not have it. They don't know. Some of you I have been working with. Some of you I have been talking to. My question for you today is this. Why do you wait? What is it that causes you not to come forward to be baptized? What is it that keeps you away? Do like I said, to avoid temptation. Don't go there. Stay away from those things. Turn away from those things. Be like Job and shun any evil. And the evil that you are seeing today is the evil that is telling you you don't have to do it. Folks, yes, you do. If it was important enough for Jesus to do, it's important enough for you. If there is anyone today who needs to be baptized,